Our sermon this morning is based on a reading from Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. Paul writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Synchrae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, who work with me in Christ Jesus, and who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my neighbor and my relatives, who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Thank you, God, for friends who remember us and for being the best friend we could ever ask for. As we continue our celebration of Women's History Month, we're going to look at a woman whom you may have never heard of. You may have read her name in the brief mention of in Romans we just heard, but you probably never thought any more about her. The Apostle Paul had a habit of closing out his epistles with a long list of greetings to various friends and colleagues. I admit sometimes it's tough to read through those lists because the names on them are pretty obscure and we don't know much about the people. But it's apparent those people meant something to Paul. He was genuinely fond of most of them, although some people he had a scolding word for, like his letter in the Philippians where he wrote, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, stop all that fighting, you two. There's enough goodness and glory to go around. We're all in this together. If we're just breezing through this letter to the Romans, we may miss one name in particular. We read Paul's call out to Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and Epaphroditus and Andronicus and Mary and Amplius and Urban and Stocky and Herodian and Typhinia and Typhosa and the beloved Persis and Rufus and Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and Philologus, and Julia, and Nereus, and the Olympus. Paul sure had a slew of friends with some interesting names. But one name among all these has captured scholars' attention and ignited a debate that is still going on. Paul gives out a shout to someone named Junia, calling her a kinsman and a fellow prisoner who was of note among the apostles. Biblical scholars pounced on the word apostle, and some took umbrage at the idea of calling a woman an apostle. Women, they insisted, could not be apostles. After all, Jesus called 12 men to follow him. So perhaps the name Junia, they say, was a typo. Perhaps Paul meant to use a masculine name, so scribes and commentators and teachers changed Junia's name to Junius, without probable cause, only caustic prejudice. Other scholars insist it isn't a typo. They point out that no one has ever found the name Junius in any ancient inscription, but the female Latin name Junia occurs over 250 times among inscriptions from ancient Rome alone. What the naysayers just couldn't fathom was the idea that a woman could be praised for being an apostle on an equal par with the 12 Jesus first called and with Paul himself. I will concede there are nuances between the words apostle and disciple. Technically, an apostle was someone chosen directly by Christ himself to carry on Christ's mission. A disciple was someone who was taught and sent not only by Christ, but by those he had already called. In Acts 1, when Jesus' followers were looking for a replacement for Judas, who had betrayed Christ and died by suicide, Peter gave the criteria. He, and of course it had to be a he, notwithstanding that in that very room, as Luke noted, there were certain women, including Mary, Jesus' own mother. The new apostle had to be one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, from the beginning of the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness to his resurrection. Notwithstanding, another number of women went in and out among them just as well. Notwithstanding that several women had been witnesses to Christ's resurrection. In fact, it was the women who spread the news. Basing their bias on this, some scholars insist that it was a mistake to call Junia an apostle. But Paul pointed out that she was well known and well admired among the believers. She had been a believer long before Paul converted. Perhaps like Priscilla, she had helped teach Paul about Christ and what his life, death, and resurrection meant. Wouldn't that make her a disciple? Junia was no less sincere in her work with and for Christ, even as Paul indicated, enduring imprisonment as he had. With just this one brief mention in Scripture, it's hard to know much about Junia, but speculation about her work and witness continue. It's for certain she was involved in the early church in Rome. She was just as entrenched in proclaiming the good news as anyone else. She was just as much a part, an important part, of the body of Christ as anyone else named in Paul's lists of friends. The attempt to erase her place in the history of Christianity is dismaying, but it's happened all down through the ages, with women's accomplishments pushed aside or overshadowed by men who claimed credit for breakthroughs and milestones women have made. Like Rosalind Franklin, a British chemist whose research was essential to discerning the structure of DNA. Or Florence Chain, who worked with Alexander Fleming to purify and insulate insulin. He won the Nobel Prize. She barely got a mention in the history books. Or Clara Don von Neumann, who was married to the famous computer scientist and mathematician John von Neumann, but all her papers were filed under his name at the Library of Congress. Or Lisa Meitner, whose work in nuclear physics led to the discovery of nuclear fission, which laid the groundwork for the atomic bomb. But we don't quite celebrate that. Ms. Meitner collaborated with chemist Otto Hahn over many decades, but Hahn published their findings without including her as a co-author, and he won the 1944 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. The same thing happened to some artists. Do you remember the big eyes paintings popular in the 60s and 70s of waif-like women and children with, well, big eyes? They were the work of a woman named Margaret Keane, but her husband, Walter, fraudulently claimed her work as his own. I'm sure there are many other overlooked women in all disciplines of science, in all facets of the arts, and obviously in the faith as well. So Junia is in good company. Why is it so hard to imagine a smart woman contributing to scientific discovery? Why was it so hard to imagine a female president? Why is it so hard to imagine a female apostle? Of course, the drop-dead criteria is that an apostle is someone who had met Jesus in person and worked with Jesus in person from the beginning. But it's also clear Junia had a real and solid relationship with Jesus, the risen Christ. You don't go to jail for just any old body. Getting arrested should give Junia some street cred. There's a modicum of respect in Paul's assertion that Junia had been a believer long before he was. Her steadfast faith qualifies her to be an apostle as much as anybody else, even Paul. She was not wandering around on the edge of the apostolic circle, deferring to the male contingent of believers. Paul himself said she was prominent among the apostles, deliberately dubbing her with that auspicious title. So let's lay aside the controversy. Let's agree that any and everyone who follows Christ, who knows Christ, who works for Christ, who is willing to go to prison or even to die for Christ, anyone and everyone can be an apostle and a disciple, and their words and their witness are worthy of celebrating. That includes us. Maybe we haven't seen Jesus physically, but we certainly have met him spiritually and embraced and absorbed some of his presence and power. And because we have done that, we have a new obligation in life to go and share what we have learned and know now about Christ. If the definition of disciple is one who is sent, then Mary Magdalene was the first disciple. She met the risen Christ in the graveyard, and he specifically told her to go and tell my brothers that I have risen. She was entrusted with the message of the gospel, the good news that Christ died but was resurrected, bringing new life to all of us. It's a message that has been handed down to us generation after generation with joy and reverence and awe to men and women alike. We should embrace and honor Junia and make sure everyone knows she was a woman who knew and loved and believed in and suffered for Christ. It's got to count for something. She was an outstanding apostle, as worthy as anybody of the honorific. She carried the message of Christ. She is as much a member of the body of Christ as anyone, just like you and me. We're all apostles. We have met Jesus. We're all disciples. He has sent us all out to spread the good news, and that's certainly something to celebrate. Let us pray. Dear God, help us remember that in your view, there is no longer male or female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, but all of us are your apostles, sharing our stories of our encounters with Jesus, and we are all your disciples, spreading the good news of salvation for all. Together, we create the strong, beautiful, multicolored, multifaceted body of Christ. We ask for your strength and for your truth so we may continue to do the work Jesus began. In his name we pray. Amen.
With him, over night, over rising.